It's been about a year since the Great Barrier Reef avoided being placed on UNESCO's in danger list. But just this week, a report by the Climate Council warned of major bleaching events if more wasn't done to reduce greenhouse gas emissions. Well, the Environment and Energy Minister, Josh Frydenberg, has met with the Director General of UNESCO in Paris, and it comes just days after former Prime Minister Tony Abbott spoke out against the Paris Climate Agreement. Josh Frydenberg joined me earlier.
It was a very positive meeting where we discussed Australia's Reef 2050 plan and the recent $500 million commitment from the Turnbull government to improve the water quality and the health and the resilience of the Great Barrier Reef. We also discussed Australia's management more broadly of World Heritage listed properties and the nomination of the Bujibim Indigenous site, which we're hoping to have listed in the not-too-distant future.
It's almost exactly a year since the Great Barrier Reef avoided being placed on UNESCO's in danger list, but some concerns were still raised about water quality and land clearing, for example. Do those concerns remain?
Well, the Director General of UNESCO was very positive about the efforts that Australia has undertaken to improve the health of the Great Barrier Reef. They understand that the $500 million commitment is the single largest ever investment by an Australian government in reef management and preservation. We're focused on preventing sediment, nitrogen and pesticide runoff, tackling the crown of thorns starfish, which is a natural predator to the coral. And we also discuss sharing Australia's experience in reef management with other countries around the world. And on Monday, Australia assumed the chairmanship of the International Coral Reef Initiative. And this is an important organisation and initiative in which we can use our experience to help other countries.
I note a recent report from the Climate Council. It predicts the reef will be hit with major bleaching events every 2 years by 2034 if greenhouse emissions aren't reduced. Is the government doing enough to prevent that from happening?
Well, climate change is the single biggest threat to the barrier reef. I've said that repeatedly and publicly. And we have a commitment under the Paris Accord to reducing our emissions substantially by 2030. That being said, we're 1.3% of the world's emissions, and we need to be part of a global effort to tackle emissions reduction. But the other initiatives that we've outlined will be very important to improving the water quality and working with our best scientists to increase the strength and the resilience of the coral.
As you say, climate change plays a role, and this week the former Prime Minister Tony Abbott said Australia should withdraw from the Paris Climate Agreement. How much more difficult is Tony Abbott making a job at the moment?
Well, all my colleagues are entitled to their views. That being said, the government has a firm position, a consistent position. Indeed, it's a bipartisan position to reduce our emissions over time. But really where the debate needs to be is on what measures do we adopt to reduce our emissions, and our commitment is to do so in the most cost-effective way. That is why the National Energy Guarantee is so important and has received broad support, but that's also why we reject the recklessly high emissions reduction targets that the Labor Party have outlined as their policy, given that that could cause great damage to the economy.
But Tony Abbott's government signed the Paris Agreement, so how can other countries trust us to keep our word if the Prime Minister who signed it can then turn around and push for us to walk away? What does that do for our credibility?
Well, we are well respected in international forums for our commitment to environmental initiatives at a multilateral level. This is one, but we've taken many other actions to reduce the damage to the ozone layer, for example, through the phasing out of CFCs and HFCs. There's a number of other areas where we work very effectively with other countries to reduce impacts, negative impacts on the environment, and emissions mitigation is another one of those areas.
And you're adamant that the National Energy Guarantee is the best way forward, but if you can't convince people within your own coalition of that, how are you going to convince the states and Labor?
Well, I've been very pleased with the strong level of support the National Energy Guarantee has received from my coalition colleagues, and many of whom have been outspoken on this issue in recent weeks, as well as the significant and important support that has come from the business community, from the large energy users, the big employers across the country. They recognise that the National Energy Guarantee will bring greater investment certainty, but it also will reduce power prices and increase stability.
Can I ask you briefly about the news that Queensland LNP Senators Ian McDonald and Barry O'Sullivan, they've been dumped from the top spots on the party's Senate ticket for the next federal election. Do the party need fresh faces?
Well, both those men you mentioned are good friends and valued colleagues. And I know that they've made a terrific contribution to the parliament and will continue to do so. And I want to say that their contribution has been very significant. They're very good friends and good colleagues.
The Environment and Energy Minister, Josh Frydenberg.